Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, gold today went against all the other precious metals. It is up $3.30 currently in the New York spot price. At $1,075.50, you have silver down 9 cents at $14.25. Platinum was down 10 at $849. And palladium was down 4 at $551. So all the industrial metals are down, and the monetary metal was up. And the USDX today was down 27.27 at $98.45. Crude oil was taking a breather today, only down 0.02 at 37.63. Stock markets today, a little bit of pressure on that. The Dow was down 160 points. Most of the day it was triple digits to the downside, 17,568. The NASDAQ down 3.57 at 5,098. And the S&P is down 13 at 2,063. 10-year yield, 2.24%, and the euro still holding the 109, up 0.54. Asian and European markets all got hammered overnight. Germany was down 2%. Hong Kong was down about 1 1/3. Japan over 1%, and London down about 1, almost 1.5. So pressures on the market. They seem to have a little bit of reversal. I know while I was gone, you had Mario Draghi announced with a smaller than expected stimulus package last week. In all his previous statements, Draghi was always ready, able, and willing to do whatever was necessary to keep pumping the buying program, as did the United States. However, he announced a smaller than expected, and the markets reacted, and we could still be seeing some of that play into the markets today. The euro, while I was gone, surged more than 3% against the dollar, and it was one of the best days gain that it had in more than 5 years. So they did not enhance, and, you know, markets don't work this way, Alan. When you look at the stock market and you look at all these numbers, you look at the bond markets, we give the dollar numbers, we give all these, and it's like it's like everything is at a standstill is what I sense. We know gold is ready to explode. We know the markets are ready to make some sort of adjustment. We know things are not working as they should. And it's almost like we reached this point, and I'm not sure if everybody is waiting for this election. I'm not sure if it's this with the terrorists, with ISIS and so forth, that everybody just seems, I don't know if it's the holidays with Christmas approaching, but this year I sense that things are different.
Well, I think things, they always feel like they're coming to a head. They haven't come to a head yet. I mean, it seemed as if they've been coming to a head for years, and we haven't reached
quite
that head
like,
just yet. But
we never had the. It's true. Many people, you know, puzzled because things, you know, continue to move on. But yet, when you read what's going on and know what's going on, they have never been like this. I mean, this is different.
No,
the
we're
numbers
off in territory
are huge.
Right now that the world has never seen before.
Yes.
And the government is facing things in terms of the debt and globalization and our interdependence on foreign countries. And it means if someone does something stupid in Europe or Africa or South America, we might see something dramatic happen in this country. That wasn't that way for most of my lifetime. All right. Certainly the first 50 years of my lifetime wasn't really that way. We didn't expect that our economy could be significantly affected by something happening in some other foreign country. There was influence, but nobody expected the United States to collapse if somebody did something weird somewhere else. Now that's not necessarily the case. We wind up at least wondering, sitting back here and wondering, you know, oh my gosh, what if China does this or that? You know, what if the European Union does this or that? And what it kind of brings to mind is, what just now crosses my mind, is people historically have invested in the stock market. And if you're going to invest in stocks, you should be investing in a particular stock or a particular index based on the objective reality that governs the value of that stock. If IBM comes out with a new invention that's going to revolutionize the computer industry, now is a good time to invest in IBM stock because it's likely to go much higher. But we have right now, our people are investing or pulling their money in the stock market or taking their money out of the stock market, not based on objective reality per se, but to a significant degree based on political reality. If Mario Draghi, he said last week, at least briefly, he said that the market were going to do everything they had to do. They would have all the unlimited quantitative easing, all right? And that drove the markets higher Thursday and Friday of last week, or at least that was one explanation. And people are listening to what Mario Draghi has to say about Europe, and they are translating into reason why they should buy American stocks. And the question becomes, are we really investing in the stocks? Are we really investing in the stock market? Or is the Dow Jones really a reflection of investing in the political system? We are investing based on what the politicians say. No matter whether IBM has got a new revolutionary technology or whatever, forget that. What did Mario Draghi say? That makes the market go up or down. What are we investing in, Melody? Are we investing in stocks or are we investing in politicians? You catch what I'm saying here?
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, that connection between Wall Street and the government has been around for a long time. And, you know, Wall Street truly, you know, that you've had that connection ever since they created the plunge protection team, you know, when government started to interfere into the markets so many years ago. So they've had that connection, but it's just a little bit,
gets stronger and stronger, and it reaches a point where are we investing in stocks or are we investing in politics?
People are investing in neither. You know, they're... Well,
no, I think there's a bias right now insofar as the market moves up. I think it was 3% or whatever. It was 350 points that they tracked that at least some people attributed to Mario Draghi's speech last week where he said, we'll do everything, well, QE to infinity. That was essentially what he said. And then what happened? He turned out and he didn't do it. The market fell.
And the market
fell.
What
do the politicians, you know, what are we investing in?
But that's
stocks,
the way it's been.
Politicians.
Well, that's the way it's been, Al.
I don't think it's been.
For a long time.
I understand that there's been influence, but I'm not sure that the combination of the two has been as strong in the past as it is right now. And increasingly, it used to be that Wall Street was associated with the government. And now we see whatever's happening in the government is controlling Wall Street to a different degree, or at least that's the way it appears to me.
Well,
it's not just an association. It's more of a matter of control. And government appears to be controlling stock markets. There are plenty of people who believe that the markets are manipulated, that the manipulation traces back to the government and or the Federal Reserve. They believe the price of gold is being manipulated. People believe that the, and artificially suppressed, they believe the stock markets are being artificially supported. And that artificial support is not the direct result of what Wall Street does or wants. It's ultimately, or at least according to the people that claim that's being manipulated, what does the government want? The government wants the stock market up. The government wants gold down. So what are we investing in? Are we investing in gold? Are we investing in stocks? Are we investing in the government? That's, to me, this it used to be that was not a reasonable question to my mind. I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, recognized the influence, but it wasn't a question of control. Right now, it seems like it's a matter of control, at least to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all that's important, Al.
That's it.
What's next?
I don't know. We got supporters cheer Trump's Muslim ban proposal, Washington Examiner. Donald Trump stood by his proposal to prohibit Muslims from emigrating to or visiting the United States during his campaign rally Monday night, telling supporters, we have no idea if they love or hate us. Just hours before the Republican frontrunner took the stage in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, his campaign released a statement proposing an all-out ban on Muslims seeking to relocate to or visit the United States. Until we are able to determine and understand this problem and the dangerous threat it poses, our country cannot be the victims of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad and have no sense of reason or respect for human life. That was Trump. Despite immediate backlash from his Republican rivals and a handful of religious freedom organizations, Trump doubled down on the controversial proposal, going as far as to read his campaign statement verbatim to the sea of supporters at his rally. We're out of control. We have no idea who is running coming into our country. We have no idea if they love us or hate us, Trump said on Monday. This is another one of those things where Trump seems to have a charmed life. He says things that those of us who have been conditioned to believe in political correctness, if we were given the opportunity to make some of the statements Trump has made, most of us, well, that's not politically correct. We can't say that. And we've all been tricked into it. And Trump is kind of reminding us that political correctness is not, it's not the truth. And he's just coming out and trying to say what he thinks is true. And he's not being caught up in this political correctness. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my gosh. It's like somebody took the shutters off the window and we can get some sunlight in here and see what's going on. So, I don't know.
It surprises me how the reaction to this has stirred people. There's a mayor in Florida, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They want to ban Trump from coming to their cities.
Oh, yeah,
it's like now, come on, if you have a problem, you need to address these problems. And what he is saying is, you know, look, until we understand the problem, that doesn't mean we can't reverse our decisions later and let them back in, but let's view the problem. Let's address the problem. And one of the problem is these people are getting into this country. So let's stop it. I just can't figure out why such a, I understand why, but the negative reaction is just so, even from the Republican
stupid.
Party.
The negative reaction is stupid.
Even from
How
the Republican candidate.
From coming into your town.
I know.
I mean, everybody gets to travel wherever they want in this country. That's what it's supposed to be. They can't say we don't like your politics, so you can't come to Philadelphia. On top of which, people in Philadelphia have to be stupid to support a moronic mayor who tries to restrict somebody who is quite possibly going to be president of the United States. And say, well, we're going to keep him out of Philadelphia. Really? He's going to be controlling the purse strings when you come begging for money. In 2017, oh, we need some money.
And we all know.
I was Donald Trump. I said, well, I'm sorry. I really like to help you.
And we all know.
But Trump, I can't come into your city.
And we all know Trump does not forget.
Yeah, I don't think he would. So, I don't know.
Well, I don't think that would.
Stupid. It's stupid. You know, these people aren't politically correct. They are politically stupid. And when we talk about Muslims, maybe you get into this, and I don't know, I'll do this a little bit right now. There is a fundamental problem. There are a couple of fundamental problems, but here's one of them. The essence of Christianity, the fundamental, at least pragmatic idea behind Christianity, is that you get to choose. The Christ knocks at your door. And if you open the door, good. And if you don't open the door, well, that's your choice. But the Christ is not coming up and knocking your door down with a battering ram or a tank and forcing you to choose to be a Christian or he will behead you. Christianity is about the right. It's about freedom of religion. And the freedom of religion doesn't really mean the freedom to practice religion. It means the freedom to choose your religion. And this is a fundamental principle in the Western world. You get to choose. All right, you want to be a Baptist, be a Baptist. Want to be a Catholic, be a Catholic. Want to be a Congregationalist, be a Congregationalist. All right, you get to choose. The Muslims deny the right to choose your religion. And in doing so, they absolutely deny freedom of religion. If you've seen any of the photographs of Muslim demonstrators, you'll see them holding signs, "To hell with freedom." And the average person looks at that, average American, looks at that and they say, well, this must be just some Muslims that they brought in out of the, they were a goat herder all their life and they brought them over here and they don't know what they're talking about. No, they do know what they're talking about. They do not respect the idea of freedom of religion. Right? They don't respect, they will not let you choose to be a Christian or, you know, Protestant, Catholic, Jew. You will be a Muslim or you will lose your head. That's why they will never assimilate into this country. They will never, 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 not the devout Muslims, they will never assimilate into this country. They can't because at base their religion denies freedom of choice. And it is a fundamental principle of Western civilization, Western culture, that you do get freedom of choice. This is one of the fundamental reasons why the Muslims will never, ever be assimilated, at least not the devout ones. They'll never be assimilated into this country, and as long as that's true, you can expect them to cause trouble. They are going to, they regard it as their obligation. They can't come. I heard one guy, I can't remember his name. He seemed credible. He said the word compromise does not exist in the Quran. There is no room for compromise. There is no room for political choice. There's no room. You will obey or you will die. You can't mix. You can't blend that philosophy, that faith into Christendom. There's no proviso. This is a fundamental basic challenge, and it's a reason why we need segregation. We need to draw a line. You Muslims stay on that side of the line, and the Christians, you can stay on this side of the line, and you Muslims do whatever you want. Chop your heads off as fast as you want. That's okay with us. But don't come here, because you can't assimilate. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back here on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we were going to talk about Venezuela and their how the world is changing, not just in Venezuela, but we see it in Europe. We see it. People are moving towards the right.
We may be seeing it here in the United States.
And we're seeing it here in the United States.
Right. Here's a headline. This is from the Washington Times. The headline is, Venezuela's overwhelming election shift shakes leftist governments across Latin America. Sunday's sweeping opposition victory in Venezuela's legislative elections may do little to lessen embattled President Nicolas Maduro's hostility toward Washington, but it might well lead leftist governments across Latin America to moderate their policies and tones. Conservatives pretty much swept the Sunday election. All right? With the exception of 2007, a 2007 constitutional referendum, the Sunday vote marks the only time in 17 years that followers of the socialist leader, Hugo Chavez, have lost at the ballot box. It would be the first time since Chavez came to power in 1998 that the opposition controlled even one branch of government. Socialist President Maduro now confronts a scenario that gives his rivals wide-ranging powers. The Chavez movement is in shock. What remains of it is debilitated. The new conservative-dominated legislature is expected to focus initially on internal issues such as Venezuela's dire fiscal situation, including the world's highest inflation rates, and a planned amnesty for political prisoners. Well, if you're going to have political prisoners, I mean, if that's what the left had, the left belong. It should be debilitated. It should be destroyed. There's no justification for jailing people for their political, for their politics. If they're violent, that's another story. If they're merely political, leave them alone. Still, the opposition triumph swamps another tile in America's in South America's changing political mosaic, already shuffled by last month's center-right victory in Argentina's presidential runoff, along with Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff's impeachment proceedings. Now, what they're saying here is we've got Argentina and Brazil and Venezuela are all moving to the right at the same time in South America. We have at least three major countries in South America that are rejecting leftist leaders and leftist political philosophy. The shift signals that a monumental political change may be taking place in South America. Well, I look at that and they ask, is this, and they're saying the other South American countries are paying attention to this and they're beginning to realize, we're going to have to deal with the conservatives. This is happening throughout the South American continent. But I wonder if the rejection of leftists in South America will translate into a similar rejection of leftists in the United States. Are the times changing for leftists in the Western Hemisphere? Have people of South America and perhaps even North America finally understood that communism and socialism and collectivism don't work and must be rejected? Now, it's just that's an interesting little theory that you can just say, well, that's interesting, but doesn't count for much. But wait a second. Does Donald Trump's success in the Republican primary and even influence on national political events signal a major shift in U.S. politics that's not merely from the Demopublicans to the Republicrats, but a real shift in voter sentiment from the left to the right?
Can I ask you a question? If it's true that perhaps the people of these countries recognize and begin to understand what communism is and socialism is, and it doesn't work and it must be rejected, how is that relationship going to affect their number one relationship with China? I mean, you have Brazil and the BRICS nations and the coming together, because if they're really moving towards the right...
You mean if who's really moving towards
the right? If these countries are moving towards the
South
right,
America and maybe
South
North America.
America. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't that affect these relationships with other... Like a communist nation?
I don't think so. It might have some impact, but it wouldn't be major. I mean, our relationship with China is all about business. All right? They're communists. Who cares? Nobody cares. They've been communists when they were poor. Nobody cares. We had an opportunity to make a buck. We moved in.
Communists are still communists, and right now it's all about trade and so forth.
I get that. But what that's all that is. But what I'm getting to is, again, Trump right now may be the most influential political figure in North America, and he's not even elected to office. Right now, when I visualize Barack Obama, the image shows up in my mind. He's like a skinny little kid who's caught in a job that he doesn't know what to do. Trump comes across as a strong leader now, and he's not even in a position to lead. But when Trump talks, everybody's listening. I mean, he says throw the Muslims out, and nobody else, no one else has suggested that with any who has any political influence or force. Trump says, "Yeah, let's get rid of them," right? And the American people say, "Yeah, yeah." Trump is controlling the agenda of the whole 2016 election at this point. That may not last. I don't know if it's going to last or not, but at the moment, he is more politically influential. You can make the argument. Politically, he's more influential than Barack Obama. More politically influential than Hillary Clinton. He doesn't have the same power as Barack Obama. Barack still has control of certain levers, but he doesn't know which ones to pull and which ones to push. Barack just continues to show up as an incompetent, and Trump is showing up as an adult. He said, "Yeah, we can handle this. Get me in the office. I can handle it." And what this is signaling to me, what this raises as a suspicion in my mind, is that Trump, the Trump phenomena, you know, We have complained that the Republicans and the Democrats are both identical. The Republicans claim they talk about conservatism, but they don't do it. The Democrats, they just try to force more leftist BS on us. And the Republicans go along with it. Their idea of resisting is if the Democrats want another $50 billion to do something that supports left-wing policies, the Republicans say, well, let's compromise, and we'll only let you have $25 billion. Trump is saying, let's just stop it. Let's not compromise. There is a kind of, everybody hears the term, and there's a kind of duality, there's a kind of animosity that's been building in the political system. And I think Trump exemplifies that to some degree. He's hit the bell. He said, look, we're going to do what's right for America and to hell with everybody else. Right? Where all the rest of politics, oh, we can't do this because we might offend these people, might offend these people, we've got to give money to these and them and those. Trump is saying, no, let's do what's right for America. Let's just keep it simple and do what's right for us. Is the Trump phenomena evidence that the people don't want to cooperate with what has been our own socialist government in this country? You know, we talk about socialist and leftist countries down in South America. Listen, our country's been communist for all practical purposes since the New Deal. It's been slow creeping communism, slow creeping collectivism, but that's what it's been. So I'm looking at what's happened down in South America. We've got Argentina and Venezuela and Brazil are moving to the right, and they wonder if it's going to affect the rest of the countries in South America. And I'm wondering if maybe it's not going to affect this country, if this country isn't already manifesting that shift with Trump being as extraordinarily popular as he is, as extraordinarily influential. I mean, that guy right now is setting a political agenda. So I'm thinking maybe we are looking at something happening in both South America and North America where we are moving to the right. And, you know, I'm not going to just sit here and cheer and say that's absolutely all by itself a good thing. You go far enough to the right and you wind up with fascism. But it wouldn't be a bad idea to get rid of collectivism in this country. It wouldn't be a bad idea to get rid of socialism and communism and move this country back to a mindset where we appreciated the truth rather than that which is politically correct, and we understood that people had to support themselves rather than just put their hand out and wait for Washington to fill their pockets and their wallets. So I'm looking. All right. Is it, for me, it's an interesting idea. Is it absolutely true? I don't know if it's true. But it's crossing my mind that it just might be that the Trump phenomena is very much similar to what we've just seen in Venezuela and also in Brazil and Argentina in the last few weeks or months.
We're also seeing it in France, even after the terrorist attacks in France, and how Hollande was, you know, hey, he was strong. He was, you know, we're at war. He was very positive. He received positive publicity. The way he, you know, his presidential role. But yet, on Sunday, they had the first round of elections in France, and the National Front was the winner, Marine Le Pen.
Yeah.
And so it's again, you see it happening, and basically Patrick Buchanan did a great article on this, and he talks about how the shift in French politics, and you look at the borders, you look, is this being like a main theme, at least in France, and compared here in the United States, you're talking about Trump. I mean, that was the main theme that really brought this change. That made people begin to listen. And, you know, at one point in time, it was all fine and dandy to have all these open borders, but now people want our borders, and France, they want their borders controlled also. And they want these problems taken care of. They want them fixed.
Yeah. And it goes to whether or not you're going to be a nation or not. And Trump was talking about that in one of his recent interviews. And he said, look, we're going to have borders. We're going to have walls. We're going to control immigration coming into this country from both Mexico and Canada. And he says that the question is, are you going to be a nation or not? And if you're going to be a nation, then you have to enforce your borders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trump is just talking common sense. And now, he's not singing Kumbaya, all right? the national anthem for the leftists, we're all going to get together and it's all going to be fun. No, we're not. The Muslims are going to move in. They will never be assimilated. This nation will be balkanized by the influx of the Muslims. And if we're dumb enough to let them in, and it's just common sense. They don't enter this. The devout Muslims do not enter this country with the idea of participating in the American dream. The American dream is anathema to them. And yet our government says, oh, let's sing Kumbaya. You know, we'll all be buddies and pals. No, we will not. We're going to see more people like the Farooqs in this country as we allow more Muslims into this country. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. How many people have to be killed before somebody says, you know, maybe we need something, we need to control how many people are getting into this country and recognize there are fundamental differences. Muslims, this is not just freedom of choice. People say, oh, Muslims should be free to choose their religion. I agree that they should be free to choose, but they have to respect everyone else's freedom of choice, and they absolutely do not. The Christian faith, talked about it earlier in the program, Christ knocks on your door. It's up to you to open the door. You get the choice. Do you want to open the door, let Christ into the world, into your home, into your life? That's your choice. If you don't want to, that's your choice. You will be held responsible for your choice. The Muslims come to your door, and they will kick the door in, and they will inform you that you are either going to convert to the Muslim faith or they're going to chop your head off. There is no freedom of choice in the Muslim faith. This is a mandatory. This is completely contrary to fundamental principles, animated Western culture for hundreds of years, maybe a thousand or more. Right? This is the clash. This is the essence, from my perspective, of the clash of civilizations that people talk about. Do you get to choose? Do you have freedom to choose your religion, or is somebody going to tell you? And what's really fascinating to me is the Muslims don't apparently care whether you really worship Allah or not. You're just going to say the words. And if you say the words, fine, good enough. They don't care where your heart is. They don't care if you're sincere. I'm sure they would prefer that you're sincere. But they don't care. You're going to come up, and they're going to come up, and you're going to say the words that manifest your acceptance of Allah. And if you don't, they'll chop your head off. It's very simple. They don't care if you lie. Now, in the Christian faith, lots of people talk about Christianity. And there's a passage in the Bible that I can't quote exactly, but the Messiah says to people, their lips are with me, but their heart is far away. They're not really sincere. All right? You can pretend to be a Christian. If you're not really a Christian, you're not going to be welcome. In Muslims, for the Muslims, they don't seem to care. You're going to say you're a Muslim. They don't care what you are. You can be a Satanist. Doesn't matter. As long as you show up, pray to the, as long as you show up at the mosque and bow to the east and pray, I don't know how many times they pray a day, but as long as you go through the motions, good enough. This is a completely different faith that relies merely on conduct and obedience rather than heartfelt sincerity. This is not a small thing. The two faiths, the two resulting cultures are not compatible. They will not, you know, they call this country a melting pot. Muslims aren't going to melt into this melting pot. They are going to stay distant and separate and apart until they pick up some rifles and decide to shoot some people. I'm not saying that for all Muslims, but I'm saying it for the devout Muslims. From my perspective, that is the way it appears to be.
We got a comment in, and it's really true. You know, we're talking about how these governments or the people seem to be turning right. And it's true about Canada. They dumped a conservative government under Harper and brought back a leftist, Trudeau, to Ottawa. And he goes on and says, and just because the population moves to the right on security doesn't mean it'll move right on economic policy. That's what I was trying. And as far for Venezuela, when you're a nation that produces one product of value, oil, and the value of the product collapses, people will turn against the government simply because their pocketbooks are in agony.
I agree.
And he talks about Trump as is right about Muslims. He says 2016 could be 1980, especially if, heaven forbid, there are more attacks.
I agree with him. You know, I mean, we live in interesting times and potentially dangerous times and certainly unstable times. I mean, who can really predict what's going on? Does anyone listening to this, can you tell me what's going to be going on 6 months or 90 days from now? There is no confidence that I'm able to see in making predictions. They are bets. We're not making predictions. We're not saying this is what's going to happen. This is what we can expect. We're just making bets. Let's take a commercial break, Melody, and we will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we've got a caller, Wayne, from Texas. Wayne, what up?
Oh, not much, Al. How's it going?
Good. Can't complain. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. I want to make a couple comments, if I could. First up, you were just talking about some of the media and how they're reporting the issues with the radical Muslims and all that. And I do find something interesting about the selective reporting, how the media pushes public opinion. And the reason I bring that up is if folks will really pay attention, and I'm sure some do, there literally have been thousands of Americans killed by illegal aliens, either through outright murder or, drunken driving, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been barely a yawn in the national media, because it's all spread out and happens, over a period of time. But I think Representative Stephen King out of Iowa did a report one time with his staff, and they said on average 25 Americans per day die at the hands of illegal aliens. Now, the report's a few years old, but it shows, though, that we've been under quite a bit of stress with these invaders for quite some time. But, again, because the national media didn't make it an issue, I guess it wasn't
because
one.
The national media. I mean, you're right about the national media, but the national media is not operating contrary to the will of Washington, D.C. One way or another, there is collusion here. Our own government is saying, oh, it's okay if they kill Americans. We're going to let the illegal aliens come in this country. Our government won't defend this country. Our government won't defend us. And now we find that we've reached a point triggered by the problems out in San Bernardino, California, where people are saying, all right, you're not going to defend us, we'll defend ourselves.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
the media
I believe that
is complicit
too.
In this, yeah. And there's going to be a reaction.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make primarily is that this collusion between both political parties, the media, in the financial community is pretty apparent. Now, I'll give you one real good example. You were talking earlier about Draghi and the jobs report and all that. And, you know, the stock market jumped, you know, 300 and some points late last week. And it was based on 211,000 jobs for November, and that's on top of 298,000 jobs in October. But to look at the real figures for November, first-time unemployment claims totaled 1.07 million people. So in the same time frame, they're saying 211,000 jobs were created. Over a million people filed for unemployment for the first time. Yet, you know, they come out and give us this crap about 5% unemployment, and, you know, everything's just cruising right along. Same thing in October. Over 1 million people filed for unemployment for the first time. So that's almost three or four times what they reported as jobs created. So that's pretty significant when you see that this type of nonsense is going on as far as financial reporting. We all know that the true unemployment rates are close to probably 10%. If you listen to shadow stats, it's probably over 20%. And I just think, you know, people really got to get tuned in as to what's going on here, because you've got this, you know, a four-corner press against us from, you know, again, the political parties and the other people I mentioned.
You know, I don't think it's just a question of people being tuned in to what's going on here in terms of being able to articulate every little problem that's happening in this country. But I think what people really are tuning into is the fact that the combination of government and media lies to us and lies to us and lies to us. And even if we don't exactly know what the truth is, we do understand when we're being lied to. And eventually the weight of those lies builds to a point where people say, I'm sick of these liars. You know, I remember President Obama, he made some comment when he was talking to his... oh, whoever was running the church he was attending in Chicago. I can't remember the guy's name anymore. And he allegedly sat down with him on one of the pastor at one point in time. And he said, your problem is you don't know how to lie. And Obama regarded that as a big disability. You got to be able to lie to people if you're going to get anywhere in this world. That's exactly what we don't need. And yet that spirit of lying has dominated his administration, has dominated the news media during his administration. It wasn't the first administration to be characterized by lies, or the first administration, but he brought it as about as big as it can get. Who believes anything Obama says? Does anybody?
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. It's crazy. And,
yeah.
And I tell you something that really jumps out at me, too, is the collaboration between both parties, where I just gave an example of just outright lies from our unemployment figures. And you would think the Republican Party leaders, if they were who they say they were, would be jumping all over this and jumping up and down saying, these people are lying, this economy's in the tank, you know, you need to elect us. But basically they're quiet about it, except for occasional outbursts from some people. But you know, again, it's the same thing. It just shows the collusion and, you know, the way these folks are mobbed up, just like two criminal, you know, two crime families.
I agree with you. And the one exception, the one big exception, who's at least trying to tell the truth, is Trump. And I think that's part of the reason he's so popular. We get, you listen to the guy, even if you don't, I mean, there's things Trump says from time to time that make me a little uncomfortable. But on the other hand, the guy's telling me the truth. Even if I don't agree with him, I'm at least getting the truth from this guy. In other words, his opinion of the truth. He said, well, this is what I think. Okay, I can work with that. But from Obama, what I get is, here's what I think will bamboozle you. Here, these are the lies that we've tested. We've done surveys, and we know that these lies will fly, and you are likely to be dumb enough to believe it. And that's what bothers me. That just aggravates me, and I'm thinking that the rest of the country is beginning to think much the same. I'm saying, get the liars out, which leaves our politicians, they're dumbfounded. What do they say in the debates? If they can't swap lies, what else do they have?
Yeah, that's true. You know? And well, you've been in part of the, you know, in the front of the truth movement for a long time. You know, your magazine, Anna Scheister, was, you know, colossal. You know, success as far as, you know, the truth it brought out on the finance and the legal system and the toxic currency that we have to deal with. And, you know, I'm glad some folks are finally waking up. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of long-term damage done. We'll have to, you know, deal with the effects of all that. But basically, I guess sooner, you know, better than, you know, sooner than later, you know, that sort of thing.
I'm not just glad that people are waking up, and thanks for the compliments and the reference to the anti-shyster, but I'm not just glad people are waking up. I am proud. It's not just a question of people waking up per se. I am proud that people are beginning to stand up and say, wait a second, this is our country. We're not going into the North American Union. We're not going into the New World Order. We'll handle things on our own, thank you. Now get out of here. People are beginning to, there is a restoration in politics right now and patriotism. There is a kind of restoration, or there's evidence of it. Watch and see how far this manifests. But it looks good to me. It looks promising. It's not just, oh, I read a book. No, not that. Something's happening in people's hearts. Something's happening in people's hearts where they're saying, I'm going to do what's right for the United States of America. And you get in my way and you will be sorry. That, to me,
is glimmers of that.
And that makes... Oh,
and I think, too, the fact that many people have lost jobs now, they're not as comfortable as they used to be. I mean, usually it's either fear or some type of, you know, situation like that that really prompts people to movement and to really take off the blinders. And that is one good thing that's happened here, you know. And the fact that they, you know, they see their family's potential lifestyle being trashed is this, if we continue down this path, you know, is really good impetus to wake up and say, hey, what is really going on here? And I look forward to the day when they really see, you know, what's going on with the money system and how, you know, this fiat currency has robbed them of their labor and their property, for one, as well as the fact this communist manifesto has been adopted across the board by our government, if you look at the various elements of it. So, again, I just think there's hope as much as anyone right now.
There is, our government is complicit in our destruction. You know, if we were being destroyed because as a nation we'd done stupid things other than elect Republicans and Democrats, if we ran out of wheat, we had a terrible harvest, we had, I don't know, there's a million things that can happen that you could say, okay, this is, oh my gosh, we've got a terrible problem, we have to solve this. Our problem is Washington, D.C. Our government is working for the destruction of the United States of America, and it's doing it by trying to move us into a North American Union with Canada and Mexico. They're flooding the country with Mexicans in order to make a fait accompli where they say, oh, there's so many Mexicans here, we can never get rid of them. If you're here illegal, you're going home. And you can go home easy or you can go home hard, but you're going home. And those of you that are illegal better start planning. Pack your bags. Get out while the getting's good. You wait long enough, and we're going to ship you out in boxcars. All right? People are beginning, hey, America, America, America. Maybe it's coming back, and all by itself. That just makes, oh, my gosh. I wasn't sure we'd ever see that again. Wayne, you understand what I'm saying? I wasn't sure that we would ever see America stand up on its hind legs again, and it looks like maybe we're about to see that. This 2016 election is likely to be something unlike anything we've seen in this country in 50 or 100 years. We're coming into something.
I think we need to make sure it's not stolen either, like I believe the last one was, and I can call back some other time, but there was a 1981 court case that Republicans signed to where they would not push for any audits of voting in minority precincts. Had to do with voter intimidation, and I don't have all the information right now, but
You got to be politically correct and got to let anybody who's a minority, a Muslim, whatever, we've got to bend over backwards and surrender our country to accommodate the minority. No, we don't. No, we don't. You want to be in this country, you're going to live according to our laws. We're not going to live according to yours. And that may be an idea whose time is coming. You know, one of the things that everybody who's listening to this, if you agree that 2016 is going to be an extraordinary election, you have to recognize that Donald Trump can't do it all on his own. There are a lot of people who are listening who are competent to run for public office. And it only costs, I don't even know what the filing fee is. Might cost you a couple $100s, but you got to get in before the end of this month. Got to get your name in there before the end of this month. And I understand it's a long shot, and I understand, but just the same, if enough of us run for public office, some of us will get elected. And they can be allies to Trump and to a movement that's trying to restore America. Otherwise, if we just sit back and let Trump do it, Trump's going to be overwhelmed. He's still going to have a Congress composed of Republicans and Democrats who regard him as the enemy rather than the president or the leader. So, you know, you got a week or two to make up your mind. It's a, you know, peculiar idea, strange idea. Sign up. Put your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, run for county commissioner, run for state senator, run for whatever. I don't care. Just put your hat in the ring. It may be that it would be a wonderful thing for this country if enough people, I know that most of us won't get elected, I understand that, but it doesn't matter. The fact that we even run is will set an example for the next election in 2018 and 2020. This politics is not a one-time event. We have 2016 election, then it's all over. No, the 2016 election will help determine the 2020 election and the 2018 election. Right? What happens now, even if you lose, you are casting a kind of vote for what's going to happen in the next election or elections. It's a process, not an event, and we should all be involved in that. What else, Wayne?
Yep. All right, thanks, Al.
All right, Wayne, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. We're down to where we got about 60 seconds left, Melody.
Well,
that means it's your turn to talk.
Yeah, I want to thank Wayne for calling. You know, he was a great caller, and we do all have great calls from all of our listeners. So just remind folks to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We got some great prices on coins, on American quarter-ounce gold eagles. We have them going for $299 today. So give us a call. And I guess we'll be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs for the first segment of the program.
All right, Melody. You were supposed to talk for another 30 seconds, though.
I got another 30 seconds.
And now tomorrow, it's 25.
Stop.
Try not to go to 26, but get to, we. Well, okay, now it's 20. 20 seconds. You're not going to say anything?
I can't.
You can't.
You do.
Boy,
not
never
allow
slowed me down, Melody.
I know.
All right, folks, we are out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and Wayne from Texas. Bye.
Work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.